pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. You're one of the brave ones. One of the brave ones still alive in America today, still not afraid to dig down those rabbit holes, go down into the truth where the truth is, dig that truth out, listen to some stuff that's a little bit edgy, stuff that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, stuff you've never heard before from a perspective you've never heard before, from someone you've never heard before, and still have the confidence to come back again. R-O-L-A-I-D-S. We'll do that again. You remember that commercial, don't you? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. That's the way you spell relief. Rolaid, remember? I came to this realization yesterday when I went down to the State House again for another... Why do we call them protests? What do you call it the Constitution talks about to the right in the First Amendment to petition our government for a redress of grievances. Why is petitioning our government for a redress of grievances considered a protest? Who came up with that idea? A protest. I don't know about you. Somebody puts their neck or their boot on my neck, I protest. I push back. It's not a protest, folks. It's a God-given right to stand up and say what you think when you see things that are wrong. And how do we get into this situation that we're in today where we believe that those who are in positions of authority are always right? I ran into a couple people down to State House yesterday. Dave in particular, I don't know if Dave, if you're even watching this morning, I ran into a couple others who talk about the authoritarian attitude, the authoritarian, how do I say this in the right way? The authoritarian atmosphere of their church. Not allowed to question anything the pastor or the church leadership says. That ain't healthy. That ain't healthy. People come on here, not don't come on here. I hear from people say, oh, that guy's a kook and he's he's a cult leader and all that. Listen, folks. You can come on here anytime you want to, and you can throw whatever you want to right out there on the table, and we'll talk about it. And I don't ever tell you that you got to believe what I say, and there's a free flow of ideas. And the truth is, most of you don't go to church at a place like that. If you go to church at all, it's authoritarian. It's not good. R-O-L-A-I-D-S. And so I noticed yesterday when I was down at the State House, I was thinking about said to my wife coming home. There weren't many of us there yesterday, maybe 100. Ran into some good, solid patriots who still get it, still think there's hope. And I said to my wife on the way home, here's the problem. I finally hit it. Equal Justice Tour. Doug Hagman said, Coach, we have a legal system, not a justice system. We have a legal system. So we were out there yesterday standing again at the State House where there's a great seal of the state of Ohio says, with God, all things are possible. We're standing there. There's that seal. And there's a great big building in which government lives. And the whole idea to walk up in front of that thing and realize there they are. There's the government. And to come to the realization that really, I have no redress of my grievances. Do you? Do you have a redress of grievances? Somebody said to me yesterday, hang on, we got a great show for you today. Hang on, you're going to love it. Don't go away. Somebody said to me, Well, Michael DeWine doesn't have the ability to, that's our governor. He doesn't have the ability to do that. Make you, now we're supposed to wear masks. In order to go out, we're supposed to wear masks as they open everything up. 2 months after this whole thing started, now we're supposed to have mandatory masks. And I said, you know, here's the problem. So I said to Michelle yesterday, here's the problem. We have no redress of grievances. Who do you go to? Everybody around us knows that these orders from our government aren't valid. I don't even know if the Constitution is still alive. People say, well, that's unconstitutional. That's a meaningless word. What does that mean, it's unconstitutional? Well, of course it is. Of course it is. What do you do? Well, sue them. Oh, yeah? And then what? Well, you go stand in front of a judge who's part of the system. In fact, he might be a Republican-appointed judge, so he's part of the Republican system. Well, you could go stand in front of a Democrat judge, a Democrat-appointed judge who's also part of the system. But where do you go for a redress of your grievances? Where do we go and say, pardon me, but the government is out of control? Pardon me, but Michael DeWine does not have the authority to do that. Where do we go? See, when I was in school, I could go to the teacher. When I was a little kid, I could go to my mom. I could go to my dad. I could go to my coach. I always had somebody I could go to who would at least attempt to make it right. Who do we go to? I saw yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw this. I didn't post it. I ought to. Hillary Clinton. Do you know that the FBI released information yesterday showing that Hillary Clinton was guilty, but they did not prosecute her because they thought she was going to be elected president? And when all the information came through, it was going to be that area when she would have to be charged would be between the time of the election in November until she was inaugurated in January 20th. That would be the time when the proceedings would come down on her. And they decided they were not, because she was going to be elected president, they were not going to bring charges. It came out yesterday. I'll try to find it. It's on my Facebook page. So here we are still begging for some type of redress of grievances. And it isn't coming. Why? Because the people who are supposed to enforce the law are part of the system that enforces the law. Part of the system. The beast system. The anti-God. And I don't like to call it the anti-Christ system, because anything that is not for Christ is anti-Christ. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You either gather or you scatter. There ain't no such thing as an anti-Christ system. There's the Lord's system, there's the righteous system, and then there's the other system. And the other system is anti-Christ, folks. We're sitting around looking for the anti-Christ to come. He's going to come out of that same beast system. The anti-Christ system. A system that will tell you that you can't open your business, you can't have an elective surgery, you cannot get your hair cut, you have to wear a mask wherever. That, folks, if you can't wake up and see what's going on, I don't know what to tell you. Now, I'm not, I hugged my wife really, really hard this morning, twice. I hugged her really twice, really hard twice. Because I become more and more convinced. I got a great show, I promise. Stay with me a second. In the last three days, I've heard from four people who are wondering if they could flee here when the time comes to flee. What makes people think like that? And then if you didn't get a chance to watch Hagman report last night, John Moore was on there, John Moore and Doug Hagman. And John Moore, just watch it. Okay. Well, Coach, we're just passing through. This place is not our home. Well, you better get ready, because I'm not trying to scare anybody. Okay, listen. If they open everything up tomorrow, there's still people who haven't been paid in 2 months. They haven't had paychecks in 2 months. And even though we're going to swim out of this thing, I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. So where do we turn, folks? Where the Lord saw, Isaiah 58, the Lord saw that there was no justice. It displeased him that there was no justice. And the reason there is no justice is because those who are responsible for bringing the justice, the church, is missing in action. And dare I say it again, those who are to bring the justice, the pastors, will not get involved. They will not get involved. And if they do get involved, they only get involved from their perspective. And so we're down there again, begging Ohio to open government. And there's no Christian leadership down there. That guy said yesterday, my pastor won't even talk about it, Coach. He won't even bring it up. One told me about a board. Well, no. I should have brought the car down. A young lady, Michelle, maybe Michelle bring the car. You don't have to, sweetheart. We ran into a lady yesterday who lost her, I believe it was 18 or 19-year-old daughter to vaccines. And her pastor won't even talk about it. She lost her daughter. Her daughter was going to go to college. And when she had to go to college, they vaccinated her to go to college, and it killed her. And her pastor still will not talk about vaccinations, won't warn other people. Why? Because it's controversial. Because we've been convinced that vaccines are good, and no matter how much we tell them, people still don't want to believe it. And no matter how much we've talked about the video that we watched yesterday where the Department of Defense or whoever that was talking about putting a vaccination in people that would eliminate the God gene. You saw it. You saw it. What? So I'm happy to tell you, I'm going to keep coming here. And I'm going to keep saying the things that you don't want to hear. Or some might know you guys do because you tune in. But I'm going to keep saying the things that you're not going to hear anyplace else. And I dare you, prove me wrong. And I don't want to be right. But prove me wrong. Show me vaccines are safe. Just show it to me. Show me that the government is not overreaching its bounds. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I can get a redress of my grievances. Show me where that is. So show me where that is. Show me the effectiveness of the church outside the little building of you four or no more. Show me the effectiveness of the church, and I'll recant and I'll repent and I'll stop saying it. Show me any place where you see, other than Pastor Tony down in Louisiana, who's actively opposing darkness. Show me. Just show me. I mean, I know there are. Don't tell me about your pastor and your church. I don't want to hear about that. Show me where somebody with some influence is actually standing up making a difference. I'm going to tell you, you aren't going to find it. So there you go. I'm done. I'm in a good mood. I just had to get that off my chest. Anybody want to throw something on the table there real quick? But we're going somewhere today, and so you're not going to miss this show. I promise you that. Anybody have anything you want to say here?
Yeah, Coach, it's Glenn. Hey, you know, when you think about it, it's really a shame that the people in churches, and there's a lot of Christian people, salt of the earth people, but they just are oblivious to what's going on, because if somebody knows, if the pastor knows, they're just not telling anybody. It's sad.
Like Glenn, where did the pastor get the right to be the dictator? Where did that? Somebody explain to me where that came from. Where he got the right to rule over clear thinking grown up men and families. Where he got to be the dictator? I'm the pastor. Well, first of all, you're a shepherd. You're a shepherd. It just disheartens me. I told a guy down there yesterday that I saw, said, you know what really frustrates me? I was down there. There are 1,000 people down here. I'm a coach. Nobody knows how to do what I do. And nobody cares. And I said, you know what we should have done down here? I should have, if I'd been in charge, which I wasn't, I would have said, hey, how many people here from Licking County? How many of you here from Licking County? Okay, you guys get over there. How many of you here from Muskingum County? How many of you from Northeastern Ohio? Would you raise your hand if you're here today from Northeastern Ohio? Okay, would you people get over here and get to know each other so you can... Doesn't it even enter the mind?
Wow. Try to order. Wow. Still a great idea, Coach.
Right? So all those people were down there. They left, and nobody knows anybody else that was down there. But we don't think like that, Wesley. We don't think. And then I got thinking about, I'm not saying poor me, oh me, oh my. I'm not saying that. I'm thinking about, Lord, my goodness, Lord, this program, this voice needs to be everywhere in. I could organize Central Ohio in a righteous manner to stand up and fight against that, but I can't because there's gatekeepers. There's gatekeepers in the Christian community.
Amen.
Anyway, it's all good. It's all good. I'm fighting to the end, man. He endures to the end shall be saved. I'm saved. I'm fighting to the end. I'm trying to waken as many people as you can. See, my eyes work. I see. And I see what's going on. Yep, come on.
It's a chess match. Mm. And the pieces are exciting and interesting, and but they haven't moved some of them, right?
Yep.
But you're on the board, you're playing by somewhat their rules, but we got rules too, right?
Yes.
But we don't use them. We don't use our power. We got all these pieces that have major moves, but we don't even believe they... Like, it's like you tell a knight it goes up 2 and over 1. No, it don't. Nah, knights don't do that. You know? Yeah. That's our side.
Yeah.
The king, the queen goes all the way down. No, she don't. That's kind of risky.
Yeah, that's your conspiracy.
Well, Mark, I think you're very optimistic. I think the church's chess pieces have dust on them. That's what I think.
Say it again, Chad.
Exactly, Chad.
The church's chess pieces have dust on them.
Oh, man.
They're moving them.
Well, you're not allowed to move them, Chad. You're not allowed to move them. And there's not 5 churches in America. Well, that's an exaggeration. If we'll take this Bible right here and read from this and say, hey, look, there it is. There it is. Government overreach. There it is. See, right here, there it is. It's in your school. Look here. Look here. Oh, my goodness. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do. Ah, there it is. See how they're using the law? See how they're using the law to clamp down on us? Not a church and very few that are doing that. Look, just read the Bible. They're so heavenly conscious, they're no earthly good. They cannot take what they see here and apply it there.
Well, Coach, I'll go to that same. I love that analogy about chess. For the longest time, the church was the chess. They were wrapped in a box and stuck on a shelf. Finally, they got emptied out, and guess what? The pieces are all over the place. Nobody's read the directions. Therefore, nobody knows how to play the game.
Amen, Dale. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry. I sing the same song. I'm playing the same violin. I'm sorry, man. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. How can you go to church and have a pastor not talk to you about vaccinations and the dangers of vaccinations? Can you explain that to me? And how can you be so blind that to stand in a pulpit and think that this is just about politics and not understand the dark forces that are working against our government? How can you read Ephesians 6 and not look at the government and see what's going on? Do you think it's just politics? You really do? You really do? And some of the most ignorant people I run into, or dare I say this, not ignorant, the most disinterested people I run into are Christians. The salt of the earth and the light of the world. Those people, the ones who have light, shine light so people can see what's going on, they're the most disinterested people I know. They're so heavenly conscious, they're no earthly good. They do us absolutely no good. Our churches are full of them. Right, listen, I got a great guest. I got to shut up. I got to move on here. Because I think something really big's going on. And I've said this to you for quite a while, and I don't have it figured out. I don't know what it is, okay? I don't know what it is. But something big, let me connect a couple dots. I'm going to bring in Craig Michael here in a second. He's going to talk to us about, are you ready? What's going on? What's going on with them? Is there a pole shift? Is gravity, is something going on in the heavenlies? Are there planets impacting America? Hang on there. Stay with me a second, okay? Stay with me. Because there's something really big going on that we're missing. Why would the entire world be shut down over a virus? Unless they know something we don't know. And why would it be that 20 or 25 years ago, whatever, however long ago it was, Al Gore started talking about global warming and oceans rising 25 years ago, trying to make a bunch of money over natural disaster calamities coming upon the earth. And here we are in 2020, and they have all of us running scared from an invisible virus. And I ask myself, self, what's this about? Are they conditioning us for something? Is there something bigger at work here? Is there something going on that I'm not seeing? Because this seems a lot bigger than just a pandemic virus. And if you get in the book of Revelation, which I'm not going to go in there because I'm not an expert in there. But we know the Bible talks about changes in the stars and there's something crazy going on. Earthquakes and diverse places. And still it's not there. You guys know all those scriptures, right? Well, Craig has spent a lot of time studying all this. Wormwood, right? What's that other thing? Oh my goodness. What's that other thing they never talk about in your church? What's that other thing that they're talking about that your pastor wouldn't have any idea? If you brought it up, he wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about. That spinning thing, what's that called, Mark? What's that thing called?
Nibiru.
Nibiru, yeah. And your pastor would say, what? Nibiru. You haven't heard about that? Oh, no, we don't talk about that here. That's politics. We don't get involved with it. In the changing of what's going on in our solar, stellar environment, the lining of the stars and the planets. Come on, Craig, I took a lot of time. Tomorrow. I didn't take that time. I had to get that off. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you ready to go?
Let's go, man.
All right. Well, there are forces.
Craig's going to give you some charts and stuff too, folks. Just sit down here and let's go for a ride here a little bit of maybe something bigger going on just than what our eyes can see. Go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry. Craig,
no, that's no problem. That's no problem. There are forces, and we understand them. They're physical forces, but they're spiritual forces. Spiritual forces can't necessarily be seen, but they can be detected in what we see around us. And God gives us through the Holy Spirit discernment. So what I want to do is kind of hit in the area that I did about this whole global warming about the sun. I've spent probably hundreds of hours into this, but I wouldn't say an expert,
Craig, let me stop you, Craig. Somebody just put in there, who is this? Give us a little bit about yourself real quick, Craig.
Okay. Well, I'm in my late 50s. I spent 30 years in the fire department in a suburban county outside Washington, D.C. I retired about 7 years ago. I've been a Christian, but after I retired, I really got into a serious study of the Bible, and I tried to conceptualize what I was reading. It's good to read the scriptures. It's definitely good, but if you don't conceptualize what is saying to you and you don't understand the people that were writing it and their culture and how the Old Testament goes into the New Testament, the New Testament, you kind of get lost, you kind of get in the ballpark, but you don't get to play on the field, so to speak. So, that's a little bit about me. I live in Maryland and, I've had some, interesting, aspects with working with, some of the FEMA stuff we were part of in the fire rescue services, but, that's a little bit about me.
So let's go, man. Take us there, Craig.
So let's go into what we do know here as far as forces. There are four known forces known to science. Okay, there's the weak force and the strong force, and that's at the gravitational level of the electrons and the protons going around the nucleus. And those forces, just so you can kind of understand it, and we're going to get into a little bit of numbers, but I'm going to explain those to you, so just hold on with me. They're 10 to the minus 15th in strength. The next force that is known to man is the gravitational force. And gravity is really a force between masses, okay, where you have like how the Earth and the Moon, they are gravitationally attached with each other because of the size of the mass. Then there's the electromagnetic force, okay? And when you take the electromagnetic force and you compare it on a one-to-one ratio to the gravitational force, the electromagnetic force is 10 to the 35 times more powerful. Now, this is extremely significant. We're going to put some things in our mental toolbox here, because what I want to do is I want to take you through a conceptual way. This is how I began to understand the sun and how it has profound effects on our solar system, but also into electromagnetic. Yes.
Think energy, folks. Think energy. You know, we've talked about that a lot here, okay? Think energy. The gravitational pull, the just think that stuff, okay? There's something really, really big here. Keep going, Craig. Sorry.
That's no problem. So let's wrap our heads around this electromagnetic. We live in an electromagnetic universe. That is the primary way of understanding everything around us, okay? But these numbers, I came up with a little slogan that it helped me to understand it. They lose locality in reality. We can't parse these numbers, okay? So let me take you through something. Let's just say, Coach, you loaned me $50. And I said, okay, Coach, could I pay you back in 1 million seconds? And you'd be like, okay, that's 12 days. Then I said, hey, Coach, look, a little tight here this month. Could I make it a billion seconds? Well, that's 32 days. Then I came back and I said, well, wait a minute, Coach, I got real bad stuff going on in my life. Can I make it a trillion seconds? That's 32,000 years. What I'm trying to get the concept for us, because like I said, we don't understand these numbers because we don't deal with them. The exponential ratio of increase. So when you go back to my statement and it's not my statement, it's a fact, it's a scientific fact, is 10 to the 35 times stronger than the gravitational force. We are talking about a profound number. The scientists, which I don't agree with, say that the universe is 14 billion years. If you were to just take the seconds in 13 to 14 billion years, that would be about 10 to the 17th in seconds.
I hated math.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's not math, it's concepts. Because if you can conceptualize, I'm not a mechanic, but I can conceptualize a piston. I can conceptualize the difference between a diesel engine that works off compression and a spark plug. The mechanics of it, how to figure it out, I don't, but I need to understand conceptually. So how does this relate to the sun? Okay, well, the sun is a electromagnetic source, okay, and it's our light bulb, all right? But let's look at our solar system, okay? Our solar system comprises of the sun.
Oh, Craig, it's a ball of energy, right? The sun's a ball of
energy. That's exactly, yeah, it's an electromagnetic force. Mm-hmm. All stars are, you know, all stars in the universe are. You know, to a certain degree, they believe we live in 10 dimensions. God has an aspect of electromagnetism that we don't quite understand. So if you look at the sun in our solar system, we have the 8 planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, the asteroid belt, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus. Now, here's the next concept we need to understand. And then we're going to get into some how this conceptually has affected us over the last hundreds, if not thousands of years. The sun, while it's very large, it contains 99.83% of the mass of our solar system. So how can we conceptualize that, put it into something every day that we can understand? Let's make the sun a $100 bill, and let's make a $100 bill the 100%. The sun is 99.83%. If I was to turn that into pennies, I'd have to have 10,000 pennies to make $100. You got to pull 17 pennies away to cover the mass of the other planets in our solar system. And if you want to take down what the Earth is, it's maybe 2 pennies. So we have maybe 2 pennies against 9,983 pennies in electromagnetic force. So I have a saying is when the sun has a hiccup, the Earth catches the flu. Little variations and the electromagnetic forces of the sun have profound effects on our climate and things that are.
Think about that, folks. If there's an explosion on the sun, it has great impact on us. Even though we don't understand that force, that power, that energy, it makes us.
Amen.
When it hiccups, we get the good illustration. Go ahead, Greg.
So another way to kind of look at this, and then we're going to kind of get into, you know, move through this understanding some of the cycles of the sun here, just think if you were having a bunch of people over and you had you're having spaghetti and you put in a 16-quart pot on your little, you know, stove on the top. Think how long it takes for that water to heat up. That's kind of what happens with the sun and the earth. They're kind of connected like that. It's that constant heat. And once you get, say you fill your pot up with water and you're kind of close to the rim and it starts to get into a rapid boil and it starts spilling over, you don't have to turn the temperature down a quarter on your stove. You just have to turn it back a little bit and you see changes in the boil. You still might have a rapid boil, but it's not foaming over. And that's a mental image that you can understand. These little variations in the sun have profound effects on what goes on in our climate. And that image of that spaghetti pot will help you to do that. Now, what we started to do is start learning more about the sun after 1600, because Galileo invented the telescope. And what they noticed was that there were these little black dots, these little blemishes, and they call them sunspots. And what they started noticing is, you know, they would start, come for a day or two. Some would stay for several days. Some would be up towards the northern poles. Then they would migrate to the equator. And what they found is that the sun goes through a natural cycle where it actually flips poles approximately every 11 years. And when it does that, it goes from a low number of sunspots over the course of a year, which is 365 days. It increases in the number. Excuse me.
All right. Would those sunspots be like sparks coming off of a fire? Would that be a fair illustration?
Well, the best illustration is we're trying to understand what's going on the interior of the sun, which we can't see. Okay. Now, when I was in the fire department, I was an emergency medical technician. We get calls. We'd go to, you know, Chick-fil-A for an unconscious person that just dropped. And we go there, and they're unconscious. Nobody knows anything about them. But what we would do, we knew their respiration rate. We knew certain things, your blood pressure. I would like to analogy a sunspot to a respiration rate. Normally, you breathe 8 to 12 times a minute. If you're only breathing 2 to 4 times a minute, there's something internally going on with you that's not good. I don't know what it is, but it's a sign, all right? It's an outward sign. Sunspots are an outward sign of what's going on the inside of the sun. So if you have low sunspots, you have lower electromagnetic activity, if you want to call it that, all right? If you have higher sunspots, you know, like if you're breathing, you know, at 30 times a minute, you might be out running, exercising, you know, doing a lot of work. So if you have higher sunspots, you're going to have more electromagnetic activity that's going in the sun. And that's the best way to understand that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So what they started to do is this is what scientists do. They document stuff. So they drew a picture of the sun. They would draw the dots. And, they're trying to figure out. And they noticed that they would come into these 11-year patterns. And what those patterns are is they flip. Okay. So that's a normal cycle. Now, what's interesting to understand about these patterns and how to kind of decipher how they have impact is not just to look at the 1 year, but to look at the 11-year cycle, you know, and you think about if your stock portfolio, you have bear markets where, you know, your money's going up down, and you have bull cycles when your money's going up, you know, that doesn't mean that there's not a year that you have a, you know, downturn, but you have a basic overall period of time where you're making money over 20 years, okay? So what they did is they looked at the 11-year cycles, but then they started grouping the 11-year cycles together. And when you have continuous cycles, and we're going to go to some of these charts here, that are showing increases, that's called grand solar maximum. When you have charts that get down...
So we're in cycles. There are cycles going on. Got it. We get it. We understand that. My stock portfolio goes up, it goes down. What's the impact? Let's get to the impact.
Okay. On. All right. Can you go to chart one by chance?
Chart one.
Let me know when you got it. So
okay. See, I'm sorry, Craig. We should have had you set you up on the screen and everything so we could see you. There, the chart one's up, brother. Global temperatures, 2500 BC to 2007. Global warming, they're telling us, right? Go ahead, Craig.
Okay. I'm hoping it's with the sunspot cycles chart.
It
should be from 1600 to 2050.
Okay. It's up there right now.
Okay. So let's look at that. What we're doing here is we have sunspots on the left and we have time going over on the right from the time of the telescope. There are defined periods in our time called Maunder minimum and Dalton minimum when we have lower sunspot activity. And how does that roll over into what actually happens historically that we can document that we know that happened? The reason I put the 1600 is you referred to the Mayflower Compact the other day. Look at what the sun was doing and when the first settlers came over. The sun kind of went up and then it stopped. If you go back and you look at what happened to the folks on the Mayflower, they were trying to cross the sea. They were trying to get to Virginia. And what happened? They got into hurricane season of intensified activity. It pushed them up into the northern part of Massachusetts. And when it was a cold winter, half of them died. Look at what happened. The sun stopped working. It stopped dropping its activity. If you can go to chart two, all right, and that says, according to this forecast, the upcoming solar activity.
It's up there.
That's a little bit better chart. And what that does is it has the charts, but it also has the solar cycles on it. So, you know, when they started to really figure this out, they started giving these solar cycles numbers. So in 1750, you know, we're going to start there. We notice that we have cycles going up, more sun activity. That's good. Then cycle four, it starts to drop off significantly. Then we have cycles four, five, and six. I want to kind of hone in on how this affects our history and what happened. There are four major events we need to look at, and it will give you a clue on how this impacted our history. One is the War of 1812 when Napoleon went over. The French Revolution started because of Grand Solar Minimum because there was famine in France and the people revolted and Napoleon got in. But when he went to go make his charge into Russia, he got over to Moscow early in October and September. But the weather changed, and this is what happens. You get significant extreme weather on all levels. It started getting like 20 below zero, and this is unusual for November in Moscow. Okay, usually January things start really dropping off. So we had that happened. We had the New Madrid earthquake in 1812 when the Mississippi River actually raised up. There were waterfalls coming off the Mississippi River.
Okay, so you're telling us this is happening because of the sun, cycles of the sun.
It's because of the electromagnetic forces that are being exerted on the sun, from the sun to the earth. In 1814, there was a tornado that ran. The British were in Washington, D.C., that they were burning the Capitol and the White House. And they had a major tornado that came through, killed more British troops than what the Americans had did, and put the fires out, saved Washington, D.C. from burning down. In 1815, we had Mount Tambora, which was a volcanic explosion of VII-7, which is a volcanic explosive index, the second largest volcano observed by man. And that caused, in 1816, the year without a summer, and it affected the growing seasons. So what I'm trying to say is this electromagnetic forces that happen, and sunspots are an indicator of that. When you go through Grand Solar Minimum, the things that you see here on Earth, volcanoes, earthquakes, erratic weather, these are the signs of Grand Solar Minimum.
Okay, Craig, I'm looking at the chart. I look out, it's red out at 2000. What's the red, Craig? What's the red on this chart?
What we're going in. You need to go, okay, if you want to see where we are in time, all right, solar cycle 23, 24, and 25. Solar activity has dropped off.
Hang on, I'm trying to think for everybody out there now, okay? So you're telling us a lot of the things that we see going on are a result of changes in the sun. You call it solar minimum, maximum, whatever. You're saying that hurricanes, climate, all this stuff is nothing more than the cycles of the sun. Am I on the same page with you?
That's correct. That's exactly what it is. Okay. And the global warming is the global
warming. They're talking about global warming. It's because we're in a solar cycle. Go ahead.
Right. Global warming is because from the late 1800s, we've lived in the most gracious period, one of the most gracious periods of time that God's given us, because the sun has been in a upswing for the last four or five cycles before 2000. And you get good food growth globally, okay? Now we're going down, all right? And when you go down, you get less food production, okay? And you tend to have famines, which I think we're getting ready to have. So our solar activity over the last three 11-year cycles, 33 years, have been going in the wrong trajectory. And you have to understand, go back to our pot of water and the spaghetti. If you were to turn your stove off, it's going to take a while for the temperature to come down. And that's what's going on here with the Earth, too, okay? It doesn't necessarily react that quickly, all right? So it takes decades.
So global warming and global cooling is a concept that could in fact be real. It ain't coming from the man. It's coming from the cycles of the sun.
That's correct. And now, as we start to understand, how does the sun affect our earthquakes and volcanoes? It's the most significant, least significant factor in that. Let's go back to this electromagnetic field. You talk about a pole shift, okay, in Earth, and the Earth has had pole shifts in the past, okay, and they say that's 700,000 years, but I think that's not correct. But nevertheless, the magnetic poles of the Earth have flipped in the past, and it was probably had more to do with the flood than anything else.
Yes. Craig, why does that even matter? What do you mean magnetic pole? What does that mean? Listen, I'm a football coach. Huh? What does that even mean, a magnetic pole shift?
A magnetic pole shift would be, well, let me just put it to you this way. When I read something in Isaiah 24 about how the earth would wobble around like a drunkard, I was like, what does that mean? I mean, it doesn't sound. But you got to put yourself back into what Isaiah was getting a vision from the Lord. And if you understand where the earth, the way that the core of the earth is, the center is the solid. We have the outer core is liquid, orange liquid and magma. And it's an electromagnetic force in itself. Okay. Right. But we're just this big spinning top, and the crust of the earth is not attached in a sense to the magma. It can float, you know, just like, the crust can go differently than what the mantle is. And if you have a rapid, sudden magnetic change, then you can actually have the crust rolling on the outside while the interior is magnetically changing. So you can actually have change in latitude. Your latitude to change.
Let me help you here. Folks, imagine a top spinning. Imagine the earth being a top spinning. And if you were to spin a top, imagine what happens as that top slows down, how that thing begins to wobble. That is a pole shift. That's what's going on. The earth appears to be wobbling. Would that be safe to say, Craig? There's a wobble going on, right?
And when a top is perfectly in harmonic, it sits nicely. But if you were to change magnetically the interior of your top, let's say your top had you could just flip the magnetism of it, it would start to cause it to wobble like a drunkard. So Isaiah put it in terms that he could explain it. He saw it, but he didn't understand it. And he put it in language that he could convey what he's trying to convey. So,
Are we wobbling today? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, we are. There's a wobble. Okay. The poles are, the North Pole was shifting 50 miles a year, and it caused a lot of distress in the scientific community. It's actually moved from Canada and it's getting ready to go into Russia. What that's showing you is that there's a lot of things that are going on in the interior of the core of the Earth. And our magnetic fields are weakening. This is another thing we need to understand, okay? The Earth's magnetic field, or the Sun's magnetic field, goes out to Pluto. The Earth's magnetic field goes out to about 25,000-30,000 miles. That's where the satellites roam. Once you get past out the Earth's magnetic field, there's no shielding of radiation from cosmic and galactic radiation. And what they were doing, they studied the magnetic field since they were using the compasses in the British Royal Navy. This is what John Moore talked about. I saw him talk. And he was talking, and I didn't understand something, but I think I might have figured out a piece of the puzzle. I understood him to be in the Army, but when he was talking about that he had to go to this meeting, it was at the Navy, and there were a bunch of generals and Navy people, and they were talking about the pole shift. And I'm like, well, what's the Army doing with the Navy? But if you think about it, the British Royal Navy, okay, where Britain in the 1700s, where the sun didn't set on the British Empire, they used sextants, but they used the magnetic compass. They kept really good records. And what they found is for the last 300 years, the magnetic field of the Earth was decreasing at 5% over 100 years. From 2000 to 2010, in a 10-year period, it dropped down 5%. That's an exponential increase.
I'm trying to do it for us football heads, Craig.
Okay.
Okay. I'll make it so us football heads understand. A pole shift is this. All right. It looked like this and now begins to look like this. Or maybe this. And so when he's talking about a pole shift, do you ever ride on a tilt-a-whirl? Do you ever go to the fair and get on one of those things, those rides that do this and do that? And what it does to you, what Craig is telling us is this is going on. We are in the midst of a pole shift caused by the sun, caused by a lot of different things. The magnetic pole is getting weaker. There are changes going on naturally in the universe that is showing up here on Earth. Is that it in a nutshell, Craig? Am I doing all right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing that we need to concept and the point that I'm just trying to say is, you know, I can take what happened over when sunspots decreased, it's happened over history. You can take written history and you can line it up and you can see there was famine, there were volcanoes, there were earthquakes, you know, there was errant weather. Okay. I want to read some signs of what a grand solar minimum looks like as far as what you can visualize.
Okay, time out. Can I tell you something? I don't even know what a grand solar minimum is. What are you talking about? What's a grand solar minimum?
A grand solar minimum is when the sun is going down in its output, and we use sunspots as one of the indicators of that. We have more tools.
The least amount of energy coming from the sun would be a grand solar minimum. The lowest amount of energy coming from the sun.
Right. And it's got to be three or more cycles of decreased activity. It's not just one that goes up and one that goes down. So it'd be like if you had your money in the bank, right? And let's just say you had 5-year cycles and you had 5 years where you kept losing money. For 15 years, you lost money. Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. So that's how you need to look at it. And then you have to understand this electromagnetic 10 to the 35 force. You got to understand that this is all interconnected. All right.
Okay.
What happens is the Earth is a net receiver of heat from the sun. We don't generate our own energy. We receive energy from the sun. So if we're getting more sun activity, we're banking it. If we're losing it over 33 years, it's leaving us. And that has profound impacts on our climate. And let me just give you what some of the signs and symptoms are and make sure we know where we're at in time. Okay, you get extreme weather in all categories. Has that been happening? Yes. Hot, record hots, record colds. Do you know just last week, last Sunday, they put out a heat advisory in Arizona for 107 degrees. Now, does that happen? You know, you can't take individual points and make, you know, a big doctrine out of it. But what you do is you see this globally, and we'll talk about that in a second. So you have record hot, record cold. You have record drought. If you want it, the best way to understand, well, every time you hear unprecedented, okay, that term is getting used a lot now. You have record rain, where you get half a year amount of rain in one event. You get multiple 500 to 1,000 year floods, which we had last spring when you look at all the flooding that happened in the Midwest. You get record size hail, okay? And what happens is you get a compression of the seasons. And what happens is winter extends out. And then you have very short springs and falls, and summer extends out. And for farmers, the impact in this is they need a good spring to get their crops in the ground and for things to happen.
Well, okay, got it. I'm looking at the clock. We got 9 minutes. I get the picture. Craig.
Okay.
What's going on, man? What's going on? And I tie it together with what I said at the beginning. There's something else going on other than just some daggone flu virus. What? Where is this all heading, Craig?
Well, it's coming through the return of Christ, Coach. Okay, we just started cycle 25, which started, and we're just starting to take off. We're at the lowest number of sunspots. Last year, we only had 77% of the days we had no sunspots. Okay, and now we're starting to climb back out. But in 2030, okay, which is what they're expecting this cycle 25 to end. All right, that's going to be 2,000 years since Jesus Christ was crucified. I've delved into biblical prophecy, and I'm not going to say eschatology is one of those things. I don't think anybody has it totally figured out, but I'm going to tell you what, from biblical prophecy, and you go over the Bible, I can take you back to the events. We are approaching 6,000 years, and there's talk of a millennial reign. I do believe the millennial reign in Jesus Christ, okay? If you go back just in the biblical calendar, all right, every 500 years, big events tend to happen. Okay, in 1517 was Martin Luther. Okay, so it was a big thing with the Catholic Church. Around 1000, there was the schism of the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. You go 500 AD, that's kind of when the Catholic Church, you know, Constantine, it all kind of started to form. Then you have Christ.
Crazy things in the sun are causing crazy things on the earth. There is a connection here. There's an energy.
Yes.
Craig is heading towards the return of Christ. What's going to happen with this solar thing? What's going to happen? Is the pole shifting? Is it resetting? What is it we ought to be looking? What is it, Craig, they know that we don't?
Well, in the spiritual realm, okay, they know their time. If you go back and you look at when Jesus exercised that massive demon out. Go back and look at it. They said, why are you here? You're here before your time. They understand the reference of time. And Jesus put them in the pigs, right? And the pigs went in and they dropped into the lake. Okay. So what they know is that this is the culmination of time. That's what I teach Bible study on Wednesday night at my church. And when I say, you got to understand where we're at. When you're a coach, right? You're in the last 2 minutes. You're going to throw everything you've got at that team if you're down.
What should we expect them to throw? What is going on? What should we expect them to throw?
They're throwing everything. They're throwing yoga at the church. They're throwing global warming to get control. That's why the Paris Accords have fell. You know, that Trump came in and Trump messed up their plan. they were supposed to have all this figured out by 2030.
Craig,
just think about it this way, Coach. Why is 2030 such a big year? UN 2030, Agenda 2030, this, that 2030, that's 2030. We know that Jesus Christ was crucified between 30 and 32 AD. We know that. Historically, we know that. That's a 2,000-year mark. If you go back in the Bible, when God went and picked Abraham out, that was 2,000 years before Jesus Christ. This is where you got to pull the strings of what's going on visually with spiritually what's happened in the Bible. And you got to have a timeline. And when you put all these things in the timeline and you see that, it tends to make a case, let's put it that way. of where you're at.
Well, my point is this, Craig. The powers that be, they understand these solar minimums, the climate changes, the hurricanes, that they understand what's happening, and most of us don't.
Correct.
So what's happening? How's this? Apart from the call, return of Christ, physically, how is this thing playing out, Craig?
Okay, well, what you're going to do, Coach, you're going to see famine, all right? And it's already happening. That's why the locusts that are forming over there, the reason that is because the climate has shifted into that particular area, and it's raining. You're going to get a greening of the deserts. Locusts have to have moisture in the ground for their eggs to survive.
And, so it's going to get wet in the desert. What's going to happen where it's wet? Normally wet. So you're talking, see, folks, listen, I'm trying to connect this in your brain to understand. They have been telling us about climate change for 30 years because they know something we don't know. Right, Craig?
That's right, because they went back and they figured out basically this chart. They understand through history what has happened. You can go back in history, look at the sun, look at what happened. You have the rise and fall of empires. You have significant events. In 1816, we had the year without a summer, and people can research that. That was because we had a volcanic explosion. Because there are 45 active volcanoes. This is the most volcanoes they've had. This electromagnetic force, because our shields are down, the Earth is taking in cosmic and electric particles, and it's storing it into the magma. It's heating the magma up. And the magma is, that's why you're having all these earthquakes and volcanoes. And you're going to see volcanoes and earthquakes in the United States like you never seen before here, just like in 1812, okay? Massive earthquakes.
It's coming about because of the changes in the heavenlies, the sun in particular.
Correct. And here's the deal. And I can, you know, we can talk afterwards if people want to hang in the queue. Do you remember in 2004 that massive tsunami at Christmas Day that hit?
Yes.
Killed 200,000 people. I'm doing my research here. That's because there was a star out that was 30,000 light years away that compressed, and we were hit with a gravitational wave, and then 44 hours later we were hit with the biggest gamma ray burst that was ever detected. And underneath the ocean, you had 750 miles of the ocean shot up 40 feet. 750 miles shot up 40 feet and created that tsunami. And that was from forces, electromagnetic forces out in different galaxies that actually hit the Earth. And I have the documentation for that.
So, where do they find out more about this, Craig? How do they connect with you? Because we've just scratched the surface, and I've been interrupting left and right, trying to get people to make the connection between what they've been telling us about global warming and the seas rising and all this stuff, and trying to blame it on man-made global warming to control human beings. And you're saying it is going on, but it's not man-made global warming. It's happening because the sun and the universe is shifting. Yes?
Absolutely. And honestly, you talk about Ephesians 6, you don't fight against flesh and blood. There's a dimensional realm. I haven't, you know, this is, okay, we're just kind of putting things on the chalkboard here. When it says there's fighting going on in Revelation in the heavenlies, and it's going to be a great war, It's a war, but it's in an electromagnetic field that we don't quite understand, okay? And we're going to be impacted by that, okay? And
my goodness. Craig, yeah. Craig, how do we find more? Where do they connect with you, Craig? We're out of time here, but how do they connect?
I'll have to send that, but let me just give – these are resources that you guys can check on your own. I'm not – you know, I'm not a big smart guy. Just go to Grand Solar Minimum. There's a channel on YouTube called Grand Solar Minimum, and they do a good job of explaining why the interaction with this. They have the charts. They have people that talk. There's a good book by name. They actually have an interview with a guy named John Casey, and I can send a couple of these to you, you know, just to kind of get people started, and then they can do their own research. It means more to you if you do your own research because you can figure it out as you go. But, you know, the thing is if you don't have a spiritual, if you don't have the Bible in part of this, you're going to miss the totality of what's going on.
Folks, NASA, whatever you want to, they know things we don't even know. Dare I bring in even the Nephilim and angelic intelligence stuff that we're not aware of, that the forces of darkness are aware of, and they're trying to tell us that what's happening to us, although it is a natural, supernatural phenomenon, they're trying to control us by telling us it's happening because we are simply people driving cars, living our lives, and there's something happening here, folks. Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. God bless you. Thanks for doing it. Great, great job. I'm sorry I walked all over you. This is so much bigger than we can even wrap our head around. And by the way, when was the last time they talked about that in your church? We'll see you tomorrow.